I want to talk to you tonight about the amen, the last word of the prayer. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, amen. Last night, I shared with you divine inspiration on our sanction and approval of the fatherhood principle. For in the scriptures there are 64 different uses of the word amen. All of the appearances of that word except one are appearances to mean the sanction of a prayer or the affirmation of a statement. When a statement of truth is made and you follow up by saying amen, that means you are affirming that statement. You are in agreement with it. You concur. There is a blended harmony between the statement just made and the convictions of your heart. Likewise, when one prays, whatever he prays for, whatever needs he asks to be supplied, when you conclude that prayer by saying amen, you're actually sanctioning the seriousness of your petition. Our Father in heaven, we pray. And then all the other things are prayed. It's closed by saying, I sanction it. I agree with it. I affirm it. So be it. And so tonight, I want us to, in accord, amen, the second statement of the prayer, which is simply, Thy kingdom come in earth. Thy kingdom come in earth. And to that, everybody says, good. I want to repeat it again. I want you to realize what your sanction means. Thy kingdom come in earth. Not heaven now, but in earth as it is in heaven. Literally, what we are sanctioning with the confession of our faith is that the kingdom of our Father, which has been in the heavenlies forever, for His kingdom is forever, from beginning this past to endless tomorrow, sovereign God, creator God, has a kingdom of unlimited power. God's kingdom of power is as great today as it was when He manifested His power in Genesis 1. God's kingdom of power is the same today as it will be when He manifests His power according to the apocalyptic revelations of John for the days going to come. This terra firma will be renovated. This earth will be purged, not with water, but as by fire. And following on the heels of that renovation, Creator God, who recreated the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, will recreate the heavens and the earth, and forever and ever and ever and ever there will be heaven on earth. Glory to God. And that's going to be because our God's kingdom always has been, always will be, and is now a kingdom of power. Everybody here, say, I'm here. Don't leave till I get the introduction over. And when you hear the truth of introduction, you will not want to leave. God's kingdom of power is in the now. God's kingdom of power is not something that will only come in a millennium. God's kingdom of power is not something that was before Satan cursed the earth. The kingdom of God's power is in the now. It is as powerful now as it ever has been. Why isn't it exhibited? Simply because our faith has been limited by doubts. And because of our limited faith, we limit the power of God. For all things are possible to the believer. We are the only restrainer on the exhibit of God's eternal power in reality today. Now let me show you how in divine economy God has ordained on schedule that we Gentiles live in a kingdom of power on earth. When Jesus was talking to the disciples in John 14, he opened the discussion by saying, "Don't let your hearts get troubled. You believe in God, that's our Father. You believe also in me. I am your friend." He was not their Redeemer yet. He was only their friend and teacher. But he said, because you believe in God, because you believe in me, I want you to know my Father, your Father, is preparing a place for you. He goes on in John 14, talking to these disciples, and said simply, "Now I'm going to leave you. It is expedient, that is, it's sumphero, it's good for you that I leave you. Because unless I leave you, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Holy Trinity, will not come. He cannot come, because Father God is a God of order. And the triune plan of God always follows in sequence. First there was God Himself, and then there was Christ Himself, and now there is the Holy Ghost Himself. The three distinct persons of God's Godhead has a place of prominence and power according to a holy schedule." So Jesus simply told the disciples, "I am going up. And to prove to you I have ascended back to the Father, when I ascend," Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and the Father will give you another comforter." Meaning, Jesus, while he was present, was a comforter. But when he left, he did not want believers to be comfortless. Therefore, he said, "Another comforter, one in my place, the Father will send to you." Now, he was prepping the minds of his disciples not to restrict the power and the presence of God, for they would have been prone to say, after Christ had gone physically, they would have been prone to say, "God has left us. We're orphans. We're left alone. His power is not present." And more than likely, if they had not been prepared to receive the presence of the Holy Ghost, they would have reverted to idols. They would have reverted to agnosticism and unbelief. But Jesus was explaining to them that God will always be present on this earth. And don't you forget it. His kingdom will always be a kingdom on this earth. Now, I know there are times it looks like the devil's in the driver's seat. There are times it looks like Satan's in control. Listening to some of you testify tonight about the before and after of your life, I'm sure there were many days and nights that you've groaned in grief and said, "My God, there's so much devil, I can't live more. I can't stand anymore. I've had all the devil I can stand." And we are prone under the pressure and the exhibit of demon force to question the presence of God. We think that when the devil comes in as a flood, that God takes a vacation. But let me tell you the truth of Scripture. God has always been, God will always be, and God is now. Hallelujah. And it is up to our faith to believe His greatness in the present now. So Jesus said, "When I go physically from you, God's kingdom will march on. God's kingdom will not be dissolved. The head of the next kingdom of God on earth will not be me in person, but the head and administrator of the next period of God's kingdom on earth will be the Holy Ghost Himself." And so Jesus said, He not only will be a comforter with you, but He will incarnate you, because our God has never been worshipped by the makings of man, by buildings, by temples, by idols. Ever since God made the first man, it was the will of the Father that he have a kingdom residence within the individual. Not temples, not all sorts of ritual, but within the individual. Therefore, Jesus said to his disciples, when I leave, and the next administrator of the kingdom comes to the earth, he will not just be a passing comforter. He will not just be a blowing cloud. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he will incarnate you. He will take residence in you. Your bodies will become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when the kingdom of power, the kingdom of the Holy Ghost takes place, Jesus said, you will have a glorious identity with God through the Holy Ghost, which is an identity of power and of strength. Are you still with me? So when he left, several days went by. These were awesome, weary periods of waiting. Even the day that he went up, 500 people anxious to see him go were out on the hill. And I don't know, somehow 380 lost heart in 10 days. For if you're a student of records, you know, though there were 500 people on the Hill of Ascension, there's only a record of 120 in the upper room when the kingdom of the Holy Ghost became a reality as Jesus predicted it would happen. Only 120. You subtract 120 from 500, that means 380 were lost in the fog of unbelief. They thought just because Jesus was gone, God's kingdom was dead. But 120 believed what Jesus had said. He said, you go back into the holy city. Now you wait. You wait until the celebration of Pentecost. Preacher, if I was going to be here 6 weeks, I'd introduce a 12-sermon series on the celebration of Pentecost. But I want you to know, Jesus, knowing the chronology and the time frame of God's economy, told these believers, said, God is always on schedule. He's never early. He's never late. God is on time. How many knows that? Say amen. You've thought that he wasn't, though, haven't you? You've thought that he missed the train, haven't you? You've thought his flight was grounded, haven't you? I felt like that. But remember, God is a God of order, and God is always on time. Jesus said to the disciples, the kingdom of the Holy Ghost will not come until the day of Pentecost. God's ordained that. For at that particular time, 4,000 years of worship and celebration to the God of the harvest had been celebrated on that Pentecost year, that Pentecost day, that Jubilee celebration. So, Jesus said, now just don't get anxious. Don't get discouraged and faint. Tarry until God's time clock says Pentecost is here. And so 120 were patiently waiting for the kingdom of power to come to the earth. And they were in the upper room. Somebody says, well, what do you think they did for 10 days? Sit around and sing a little, pray a little, sit a little, stand a little. What do you think they did? Well, they had a business meeting for one thing. And I don't know what else they did. One thing for sure, the priority of their period was to wait until the day. Hallelujah. What day? The day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 says, it came. It has always come. It will continue to come. And so on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord. They were in the upper room. And according to the word of God our Father, and according to the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the day of Pentecost, the kingdom of the Holy Ghost became a present kingdom on terra firma earth. When Jesus went up, the Holy Ghost came down. And in Acts chapter 2, the record tells us beautifully how that the 120 experienced a phenomenon that attracted the attention of all the worshipers. And listen to me now. The people that were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost were those that had lingered in the city following their being there for the resurrection celebration as well as for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were religiously hungry. They had a desire to know more about the God of Israel, or else they would have come to Jerusalem and would have already been gone home. But they were lingering in the holy city. They were held by an invisible magnetic cord. They were on the streets when the day of Pentecost happened. And suddenly there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And the book says the house where the worshipers were waiting was filled with that rushing mighty glorious Holy Ghost arrival. And furthermore it says it appeared as cloven tongues. What are cloven tongues? Two tongues, split tongues of equal eloquence. What simply meant their natural tongue and their spiritual tongue was a gift of God for all the waiting believers. For as they were in that upper room waiting and worshiping, there was that cloven or split tongue of fire that alighted upon each of them. I like what the book says. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, meaning the kingdom of God had come in the ministry, in the power, in the person of the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God came to the world in the form of a manger scene with a crying baby boy laid on straw. And that kingdom lasted for a while. He fulfilled the purpose and the will of God until he died, was buried, and arose again. But since God will never release the kingdoms of this world to the devil, God at a chosen time sent the third person of the Godhead into this world as the administrator of his kingdom on this earth. And so when the Holy Ghost came and infilled those believers, there was a sign of his presence that was physical and audible. The sign was the fulfillment of Christ's prophecy. For in Mark 16, fragmented followers would go east, west, north, and south. But suddenly, 120 people had been possessed by the Holy Ghost power of God's kingdom on this earth. And they became a force that no people could withstand. They had the power of the Holy Ghost as the resident agent of God's kingdom on this earth. You listening to me? Ever since Acts 2, the record is so beautiful. How that in Samaria, Acts 8, subsequent believers who had all been religious received the Father's gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10, Peter introduced this message as being a kingdom message to the Gentiles. Up until now, every effort had been diverted to the Jews. But now Peter at Cornelius' house introduced this message of the kingdom of the Holy Ghost, this kingdom of power, to the Gentiles. Laid hands on them and prayed. They made a confession of faith and received the gift of the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues. Paul took this message down to the town of Ephesus, and when they prayed for 12 believers that had already been baptized to the baptism of John, they received the Holy Ghost gift of the kingdom and they spake with tongues. So the tongue of the Spirit is the language of God's kingdom on earth. Hallelujah to God. That's the very reason we've lived long enough to see an hour that the greatest display of God's power is known to the world today through believers full of the Holy Ghost who speak fluently and with inspiration in the language of the new kingdom. And that is the other tongue of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. Everywhere you turn, believers are speaking with inspiration, and they are speaking in new tongues as evidence that the kingdom of the Holy Ghost is in the now. Are you listening to me? I haven't lost you, have I? Now, when the Holy Ghost comes into your life as a believer, He comes as a gift. Please don't think that I'm ugly nor ridiculous. But I want you to know you can't be good enough to earn the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't be religious enough to earn the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't torture yourself enough to deserve the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've come through a period of time in Pentecostal circles that we went from the sublime to the ridiculous. We've made an ideology, we've almost made a doctrine out of that Acts 2, Acts 1 prediction of Christ to the 120. You gotta wait until. And we've made a doctrine out of this business of tarrying until. Are you listening to me? And as a result, Pentecostal churches have missed years of power and glory because we have spent more time going through the ritual to be baptized than we have receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost on the spot. I've seen people come to our altars to receive the gift, and people get on all sides. Some of them sit on their feet, others would hold their shoulders, and they'd literally wallow them out until eventually they stammered, and they'd always so glad to get them up. They'd get them up and they'd say, "You got it, you got it, you got it." And they'd sit on the back pew after they got it and be just as limp as a wet cloth. They had no vigor. They had no inspiration. They had no power. They only had a lot of question marks. What did I get? They said, "I got it, but what did I get?" Well, all you got was a deceiving. I want you to know you don't have to wait 30 minutes after you're born again to receive the gift. You don't have to wait 10 days after you're born again to receive the gift. If by faith you receive the gift of forgiveness, by the exercise of that same faith, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost on the spot, and the Holy Ghost of God will fill you, and He'll not just fill you for a temporary inspiration, but when He, the Holy Ghost, is come, He will distribute to each individual believer various gifts to make you a real triumphant believer in God's kingdom in the Holy Ghost power now. Are you here? Now, I can see on the minds of some of you, you're saying, "Now look, Bjorn, you want to remember what our traditional position is?" Yes, how well I remember. And I remember we've almost lost a generation of people that ought to be in the healing powers of God's kingdom. All because we built ourselves little sacred cows, and we danced around that sacred cow, and we held up tradition, and have not preached and taught and believed the word of the living God. We've even turned the speaking in tongues into a fetish. Now, where some people think you've got to be zonked out in the third world to speak with tongues. I've known a lot of people who said, "Well, I'll speak in tongues when God gets a hold of my jaw and causes me to jabber." Well, the likelihood is you will never speak in tongues, because God is not a jawbreaker. Everybody here? You say, "But I'm going to have to be slain, and I've got to be smitten. I've got to be translated. I've got to be enraptured." Well, friend, look. The 120 were not translated. The 120 were not raptured. The 120 did not take a vacation. All the 120 did was receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which God the Father had promised. And Jesus said, "I'll see to it He comes. When I ascend, He will descend." Well, yeah, but they spoke in tongues. Of course they spoke in tongues, but not because of some transcendent physical phenomenon. They spoke in tongues because the Holy Ghost inspired them. The book says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, when they were inspired after they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit within them inspired them. And as a result of their inspiration, they glorified God in a language not of their own, but in a strange language to them, but it was known to God, for our God is the God of all languages. Hallelujah to His name. And they spake when they were inspired. That's the reason a lot of you in this room tonight have probably not become fluent in the inspirational experience of speaking in the spirit language. Some of us, we call it the heavenly language. We call it the language of tongues. It is a spirit language. That's what it is. I'm talking with my natural language, but I've got a spirit language within me. And when I am inspired by the Holy Ghost, I have the inspiration to speak in that spirit language, just like I'm speaking in the natural language now under the unction of the Holy Ghost of prophecy. You see, when I get into the Word of God and the Holy Ghost comes on me, I open my mouth and the words fall so fast I can hardly keep up with them. And the Holy Ghost is revealing truth to my mind. And no sooner does one truth explode and another one comes, consequently I prophesy in the natural tongue, in the spirit. Why am I doing it? To edify the church. To edify the believer. To edify the body. That's why I am speaking in a natural tongue of prophecy. But then there are moments when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, as I have been for years, that the inspiration in my heart does not trigger me to prophesy with a natural tongue, but I am inspired to speak with a spiritual language. Are you listening to me? You don't have to have some language course. You don't have to be completely ogled by supernatural power. All you've got to do is to receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. And when that inspiration that you have received, the administrator of God's power kingdom, and that He is in your life, your inspiration will give you utterance and freedom to speak with tongues. And when once you utter a language of the Spirit, when once you accept and utter a heavenly syllable, then your mind becomes possessed with the ability and with the freedom and the privilege that you have been given by the Holy Ghost to communicate with God in a heavenly language as you are inspired to. There are times that I pray for people because I'm inspired to reach the direct need. I pray for them in a spirit language. But I know that when the spirit language is uttering through me, the spirit language understands every problem and every situation. And the spirit of intercession through me will help the infirmity. And even when there are things to pray for that I don't know what to pray for, the spirit within me will intercede through a heavenly language in behalf of that person's need. Are you listening to me? We have the privilege by inspiration, when by faith we receive the Holy Ghost as God's gift, we have the inspirational joy of exercising and developing. But don't feel like you're a dum-dum, or that you're a square, or that you're awkward. If all you have freedom to do when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost is to merely stammer, Isaiah said that the kingdom of the Holy Ghost would come by stammering lips and other tongues. So if you're not totally eloquent in the prayer language, in the praise language, in the spirit language, don't be ashamed if all you can say to start with is da-da, da-da, which is nothing but saying, He's my Father, He's my Father, He's my Father. You don't hear? Is this so false that it... I don't think so. I think all of you realize that some of the quickest people in our generation to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost are the believers who have been drawn from the traditional church fellowships. Why? Simply because they have not been taught that you got to lay on the floor for 10 days before you receive the Holy Ghost.
They have not been taught that your hair's got to stand up like it was electrified before you speak with tongues. Like children, they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when inspiration comes to their spirit man, their spirit person, they are so excited and thrilled that with freedom, they receive the heavenly language. And now let me close by saying this. Friends, the heavenly language is a sign of the kingdom of the Holy Ghost taking residence within you. But the heavenly spirit language is by no means the total sign. For when the Holy Ghost comes in to baptize and fill you, there is a long-range program which He is ordained to accomplish. And number one, that is to give good gifts unto every spirit-filled believer. And Paul, by revelation, named those gifts and said three of them are gifts of revelation. Three of them are gifts of inspiration. Three of them are gifts of power. All nine gifts of the Spirit are given by the baptizer of the Holy Ghost to believers that they might profit with all. So when you're a recipient of the Holy Ghost, you not only speak with a heavenly language, you not only have an utterance of communication with God, but the gifts that are dormant and lying in wait within you, those gifts will be stirred and set aflame by the Holy Ghost. And a lot of good believers, a lot of wonderful Christians, have all sorts of gifts resident within themselves. It's in their very being now, but they're laying there dormant and bound by fear. But when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you have liberty to exercise those latent gifts under a divine sanction. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, those are the three gifts of revelation. And the other gifts that fall in line of the nine spiritual gifts, that's only half the story. For Paul said, in addition to spiritual gifts, spirit-filled believers living in the kingdom of the Holy Ghost will be productive believers. The Spirit within them will produce fruit. And Paul says, if you have all the outward signs, but you don't have love, it's nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's religious folly. But he went on to say, the fruits of the Spirit. Nine in number. There is no end. Preacher, that's why I say your church is on the threshold of the most dynamic display of Holy Ghost energy that I've ever seen. Here this young man got up last night, opened his mouth, and literally a gift of prophecy came on him. He said to Barbara, Barbara, it won't be long until I'm going to be right on the platform teaching and preaching the word like you and B. Owen are doing. Here this young brother, I don't know him, I've never met him, but he touched my heart when he wailed out over his marital calamity. And oh, the jeopardy of your sanity in all that you've suffered. But I heard a ring of victory in your voice. You realize God is still in control. Hallelujah. A young man came to me in the hall before church tonight. And my God in high heaven, if you knew what he's facing tomorrow, if you knew what he is looking in the face of tomorrow, you'd wonder, my God, what's he doing in church tonight? He ought to be out here padding the streets, knocking on doors, begging for somebody to help. But he told me this. He said, up until my conversion, right here, I lied about my whole involvement. I've not told the truth. I was backed in the corner. I'm facing penalty. But he said, last night, or the day of his conversion, maybe it was Sunday, my whole frame of life was changed around. And said, today, I made an honest confession of every sin that I was guilty of. He said, I don't know what the future holds for me since I have told the truth and I am guilty and I absolutely expect some kind of a punishment. But I looked at him and I said, friend, when you get on the solid rock of truth with honesty and trust, then my God has sent the Spirit of truth into this world, and God will right every wrong and will lead us by His Spirit of knowledge and holy wisdom and power. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? I want you to know in the next 3 minutes, you're going to receive the greatest gift you've ever got for Christmas. Hear my veterinary brother. The doctor told us about the physical miracle. He told us about the economical miracle. He told about his witnessing freedom. He told how that as he gave a word of witness, the business came. Let me tell you something, friends. That is the secret of the economy of God's kingdom of power. You shall receive power after you're full of the Holy Ghost, and you shall be my witnesses. And the witness was not a witness of defeat, but a witness of victory. Even when the first two preachers prayed for a man and it was healed, what did they get for it? Overnight in jail. What kind of a report would you have tomorrow morning? Headlines. Steve Brown, B.O. in Oslin, spent the night in the Columbia calaboose. And if that one I saw on the street the other day looks like what the best you got to offer, I'm going to stay out of jail in South Carolina. I mean, that's a bad place. But if tomorrow you read the headlines, B.O. in Oslin and Steve Brown prayed for a wheelchair patient, and the spine was healed, and the patient got up and jumped and ran and glorified God. It's caused such a furor that the religious heretics of Columbia accused us of heresy and had us thrown in the brig. What would you do if that's what you read in tomorrow's papers? And I'll tell you what the early church did. When the preachers got out of jail, they all got together and they prayed. And how did they pray? They said, now, Lord, you haven't lost the battle. For they addressed our Father by saying, Father, you created the heavens and the earth. You flung the stars and the sun and the moon out there. Father God, you've been in control of everything until now. Behold their threatenings. And what did they pray God do? Stretch forth your hand with signs following that the world might know your kingdom of power is alive on this earth right now. And the crowds grew from 3,000 to 5,000 to 10. And according to sacred history, in the first year, 100,000 believers had been filled with the Holy Ghost. All because 120 people walked into the kingdom of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Huh. You want to live in the kingdom of the Holy Ghost? You want to sanction that kingdom? Is that what you want? Do you want to have enough power that your very life will irradiate literal forces of holy energy? Barbara told me about Proctor, witness to the clientele he has over there. She came home just dying laughing. She said, Daddy, I'm telling you the truth. That old boy stands there and teases his hair and talks to him about Jesus. Said he just hauls off and preaches up a storm. Just preaches up a storm. Proctor, I've got good news for you. The natural mind says that's hard on your business. But the mind of the Spirit says if you witness with power, the crowds are going to come not only to get their hair fixed, but to hear and to feel what has happened to you. The whole world wants to be with the resurrected church. Glory to God. And if you think you're going to attract the masses coming on Sunday with a clear voice saying, bless be the time. If that's all the form you're going to exhibit, forget it. People get a whole lot more fun than that looking at Dallas on television. Amen. People want to come to a vibrant fellowship. How many of you in this room tonight? You're born again. You received the gift of salvation by faith. But as of yet, you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost by faith. And you believe, I've taught you the truth, you believe that God wills for your life to be empowered by His Holy Spirit. And you say, be on, I'm ready to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to receive the gift. I'm not going to fuss and worry about it. I'm just going to receive it by faith. Tonight, I'm going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when inspiration comes on me, I'll speak with a heavenly language like you do. Like Barbara does, like the Reverend does. I'll have the same inspiration, and I'm not going to wait till I have a finished course in foreign language. I'm going to speak out of inspiration. How many of you folks in this audience tonight want to receive the gift? Hold your hand up. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Come on. Just get up and come on. No big deal. Preacher, my Lord, look what's about to happen. I want you to look what's about to happen. I want you to look what's about to happen. Oh, just look. Just look what is about to happen. That means the kingdom of God has all of these temples ready to enter and fill. I want you to know He's going to fill you, fill you, fill you to overflowing, overflowing, overflowing. And it's all going to happen as an act of faith. How many of you back there in the room have received the Holy Ghost as a gift? You have spoken in a heavenly language. And by inspiration, you do sing, pray, and preach and praise in another tongue. All right, stand up and come here. Glory to God. Just come on here. Every last one of you that have experienced this glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory. Brother, I want you. Is it Ron? Vern? I want you, Brother Ron, to come around here at the front. Praise God. Brother Ed, come around here at the front. Come on, Brother Greg, come around here at the front. Glory to God. Are you from the Baptist Church? You receive the Holy Ghost gift. Isn't that beautiful? Come on down. You know what? Of all the people across the nation that Barbara and I preach for, the most fanatical people who receive the Holy Ghost are you Baptists. Now Methodists, they kind of hold on to it for a while. But I mean to tell you, if you get a Baptist full of the Holy Ghost and he knows inspirationally he can speak with tongues, he'll tear the country upside down. First of all, they are taught and trained at the very outset how to be soul winners. And everybody they look at, they say, in the name of Jesus, get saved. And the power, and they're blessed all over the country. They really are. I want you to help. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you, dear brother, with the glasses on. I don't know who you are. I want you to come down and help. And I want about four or five women that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And you've had the freedom of a heavenly tongue. You have had liberty to speak with a spiritual language. I want you to come down here at the front. Because all of you are going to be witnesses. You're going to see when it happens. You're going to behold a miracle taking place in this church in the next few minutes. Glory to God. I need two or three or four women. Did anybody move out? Here's one. Here's another one. Here's another one. Any other woman back there? Here's another one. That's beautiful. There's another one. Here's another one. Come on down, sweetheart. Oh, glory to God. Well, brother preacher, are you ready? Glory to God. How about it, Vic? You ready? Over in Riverside, California, we had a crowd three times this size lined up to receive the Holy Ghost. I started just a simple acceptance prayer of faith. The Holy Ghost came in like a mighty rushing wind. And before I knew it, over 200 people were slain under the power of the Holy Ghost. And they all spake with other tongues from one end of that place to the other. I want you to know, when you feel the weight of glory, when you feel the excitement of the Spirit, when the Spirit reveals to you that you're no longer a victim of the devil, but that you're a blood-washed child of God, and that nothing can touch you but what God will protect you, when that dawns on you, I want you to start praising God, and we could see another avalanche of holy power come on this place tonight. Now, you people that are here, that have come to receive the gift, I want each of you, bless you, darling, tonight's your night. Look at me, sweetheart. Look at me. I didn't tell you the other night because our paths didn't cross. But God has already shown me, and I whispered in your ear and told you that I had a revelation knowledge to share with you. God has chosen you as an intercessor in the throne. You're going to intercede and win more people to the kingdom of God by merely calling their names and interceding than preachers can in an entire lifetime of preaching. You're going to realize the dream of your life. People will call you from one side of this nation to the other, and they're going to say, please go into the throne room and intercede for me. And as the Holy Ghost comes upon you tonight, you're going to feel boldness and power to where, when things come up that you don't even know how to pray for with a natural tongue, the Holy Ghost within you will pray through another language, hallelujah, and God, for Christ's sake, is going to revolutionize your life. I want everybody who has come to receive the gift, come on, preachers, and get ready to move through the crowd and touch them. I want everybody who has come to receive the gift, slip your hands up toward God. And I want you to say from the bottom of your heart, say, Father God, I have come to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And by faith, I receive Him now. I accept Him into my life. I am filled with the Spirit. I become the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am full of God. I am full of His power. And I praise God for it. Oh, hallelujah. Brothers, put your hands on them and confirm it. And let the Lord give them the freedom of speaking in another tongue. Glory to God. Come on, Barbara. You have received the Holy Ghost. Now let the inspiration speak through you. Oh, glory to God, with a tongue. Just say it out in syllables. Say it out in words. Say it out. Let the language come freely. Thank God they're speaking with tongues. They're talking with a heavenly language all over this place right now. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. They have received the Holy Ghost. They're speaking. They're speaking. The language is heavenly. Glory to God. This is a supernatural language. Greg, look here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Look at her. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Son, use your voice now to praise God. You have received the gift, fella. He has come into you because you ask Him. Now start speaking syllables of praise to the glory of God. Say, Jesus, I thank You for filling me. I thank You, Lord, for baptizing me in the Holy Ghost. You gave me a promise and I've received the gift. Now let your tongue be a free tongue, son. And if you speak with a syllable, if you speak with a stammering lip, hallelujah, let the inspiration come through you now. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Believers, speak it out. Believers, speak it out. Glory to God. I said, speak it out. You've received the gift. Glory to God. You've received the gift. Glory to God. Let this mind be freed. Let this mind be free. As your mind comprehends what has happened to you, you have become the temple of the third person of the Godhead. Every being, every fiber, every cell, every organ of your body is empowered by the Holy Ghost Now praise the Father. I want you to know you've got the privilege to speak with inspiration. Our Father, tonight she receives the gift. She has received the Holy Ghost. Now give her inspiration. Give her an attitude. Give her a mind to speak with an unknown tongue. Oh Lord, the Spirit's on her. The Spirit's within her, and now she speaks. Oh, how the Holy Ghost is on you. Speak with tongues now. Oh, how they think of you on the roof. Oh, look at the Holy Ghost.
O Christ,
you have by faith received the Holy Ghost. Now receive the privilege of speaking to the Lord in a language. Father God, come on my brother now with freedom to speak with a new tongue, with a new language, to the glory of God.